Bibles to Acts chapter 20, and reading from verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves, take heed, means be careful, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the flock of God, or the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And as we spent so much time this morning showing you that the blood of God was the DNA, the attributes, characteristics, and the life of God that he placed in the blood, placed in his son, and brought forth the body thereof. Paul also says in Hebrews 9 and 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Now that word enjoined means brought together. Brought together. Like we're talking about a virus gets on, which is an RNA, gets on a DNA, and it enjoins itself and it changes the whole coding. All right, when the Word of God, the life through the Spirit of God, through the blood of Christ, which is the life, and joins with that DNA, that germ of God that was in you before the foundation of the world, it changes the message. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, once again for your Word. We ask you, Father, to be with us tonight and to help us to further look into the fact that we as your children have been predestinated to the before the foundations of the earth to be holy and without blame. And so, Father, we know that this is the hour that that is to occur. This is the hour that when you appear, we shall appear with you. We shall become like you. So, Lord, we just pray that you would take our words tonight and may they only say what has already been spoken through, thus saith the Lord. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this evening we're going to pick up where we left off this morning concerning the attributes of God expressed through the DNA in the germ of God. And remember, Brother Branham said you could be baptized every hour of your life in the flesh, of course. But he said if you don't have that germ of God, there's nothing going to be just nothing. Now here we've read a couple scriptures speaking of the blood of God, and we saw this morning that the life is in that blood. Therefore, we're not speaking of the chemistry of the blood, but the life that governs. The attributes and the characteristics of the life that is in that blood. Now, Brother Brad taught us that Jesus was the blood of God and that in that blood houses the very life and the very nature of God's DNA. But way before it was housed, it was a thought. And it was a thought in God, which Brother Brad said the attributes of God are his thoughts, the thoughts of God. Now, this evening, we're going to show you that the very life that was in Christ, the firstborn Son of God, which came from God, the very attributes of God in his thoughts or thinking and were expressed in his firstborn Son are to come into sons. And that makes us, as Brother Branham stated, by being born again, we become. He says, we become the blood of God. Now, he's not talking about we become the chemistry. He's not talking about, you know, you're going to have a beard and long hair and sandals and... He's not talking about that. He's talking about the very nature, characteristics that was in the Son. We become that. Now, how did you become anything? We're going to find out tonight. All right. Now, he's not talking about the chemistry of the blood, but the very life that the chemistry of the blood contains. In other words, the very expression of the attributes of God. That's what I want. I want to be a manifested Son of God. I don't want to manifest nothing else but God because he's my Father. In other words, Jesus said, I can't do nothing but what the Father shows me first. Now, I don't know, a person would have to be in his right mind not to want to be like Jesus. Or you say, well, I want to be like Brother Branham. They say, he wants to be like Brother Branham. I do want to be like Brother Branham. I think because Brother Branham was like Christ. That's why I want to be like him. He said, follow me as I follow. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And Brother Branham said, I never even taught anything but what Paul taught. You see? Now, so we're not looking at the chemistry. We're not looking at the vessel. Remember, get your eyes off the vessel. Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. So we want to look at the very life that the chemistry of the blood contains. In other words, the very expression of the attributes of God. As Paul said, we are written epistles and read and known of all men. That means we become the expression of the thoughts of God, which are the attributes of God expressed in us. Now, a lot of people claim, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm a written epistle read of God. And people say, yeah, well, God lies and steals and cusses and commits adultery and all these things. And well, Brother Graham said, that's more of a detriment to Christianity than anything else. Don't say you're a Christian if Christ isn't living your life in you. Don't say you're a Christian if God is not in you willing to or working to will and to do. Because if you say, well, I got my own idea about it, I'm sorry, but you're not born again. It's either God willing, working in you to will and to do, or you're on your own. And if you're on your own, you're a reprobate. Okay? In fact, he said, Paul said, if Christ be not in you, you are what? Reprobate. Now, so we're not looking at the chemistry of the blood, but the life that's in the blood. And the life of the chemistry. In other words, the very expression of the attribute of God, we are written epistles. Remember, Paul said, I didn't write them with ink, but with the Holy Spirit. All right? So we become the expression of the thoughts of God, which are the attributes of God expressed in us. From his sermon, The Token, Brother Brown said, now the blood is a chemistry of the life, but the life is something different from the blood or from the chemistry. But the life is in the blood. The body was not deity, but deity dwelt where? In the body. You see? The blood is not the life, but the life is in the blood. All right? Therefore, as science has proven that the DNA is a musical chord or a musical melody, and it's a mathematical equation, and it is a language, and thus it is a message, making the messenger and the message one. Man. There is no way, as I said, anybody else could have performed the role of Malachi 4 except for William Branham. And there's no other person on earth that will be manifested as a son of God and be adopted as sons and be conformed to the image of the firstborn son except you, his seed, God's seed. Only sons can do it. Church people can't do it. Organizational minded people can't do it. I don't care how many PhDs, LLDs, and whatever you've got, you can't do that. The Pharisees tried to act it out in every role, in every way they could. And Jesus called them whited sepulchres. You're white on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Then if we become the very blood of God by the Spirit, we become the very message of God to mankind, just as the firstborn son was God's message to mankind, so too we saw that his messenger became his message to mankind, and now the elect bride must become the last manifestation of the message of God itself on earth, which is the expression of the attributes of God. Because if we don't do it, and remember, you can't do it, but God working in you, you will to do, and you will do, because it's him working in you. Now, from his sermon, Paradox, Brother Branham said, and God could not take a human's place, being that he's spirit. So God created a blood cell, which was his own son, Jesus Christ. And God came in and lived in there. And he lived and identified himself in Christ. That was God Emmanuel. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me. See, God in Christ reconciling the world. Jesus was the body of the tabernacle, but God was the spirit that lived in him. And I'll just say this, if God did not enter Jesus at the River Jordan and lived in him for the next 3.5 years, he would have been the biggest failure as a Messiah. He would have been the biggest failure as a healer. He would have been the biggest failure as anything. Because he said, I can't even say anything but what the Father tells me to say. I can't do anything but what the Father shows me to do. He would have been the biggest failure. And I'll say this. You as a person will be the biggest failure as a Christian unless Christ is actually in you, working to will and to do. Just let go. Let him. All right, from the message, show us the Father, Brother Branham says. Now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time, and the Bible said so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him. Philip here was quite inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. It says here that he said, well, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. In other words, and whenever Brother Branham says, in other words, he's going to tell you what it really means, what Jesus really meant. He says, in other words, when you see the Father express himself through the Son, him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him, not him doing the works, he was a Son himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people. So, well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, he said, well, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? And so you say, well, you know, we've read the scripture, and God came down, pillar of fire, form of a dove, and God indwelt his Son. And you say, hey, that's good for him. He can say, I'm one with the Father because the Father indwells me. The Father's dwelling in me. But what about me? What about me? Turn to John 17. I know you know these things. I'm just shaking up your memory or stirring up your memory by way of the word. In John 17, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, the opinions, the values, and the judgments which thou hast given to me, I have given to them that they may be one, even as we are one. Even, which means in the same manner. So if you want to be one with God as Jesus is one, it comes through the glory which God gave to Jesus, and you're receiving that glory. And when you have the opinions of God, you don't have other opinions. When you have the values of God, you don't have other values. When you have the judgment of God, you just say what God says. It's like William Brown, he got to the place and he had a beautiful ministry. It was so much like Christ said. Even T.L. Osborne and some of them said, he said, if you wanted to see Jesus, all you had to do was see William Branham. He said that. He said he had so much of Christ in him. You see? Now, and yet, at the very end of his life, when he went and God placed the sword in his hand, it wasn't just a vision. He said, I could feel it. It was there. I could see it. God placed that in his hand. That was a piece of clothing. Like God, or like Jacob placed on Joseph, the mantle or the robe of many colors. And then right after that, he placed him positionally in the church. William Branham placed positionally like Jesus. When God spoke, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell, hear ye him, up on the Mount Transfiguration. So we see those things take place. We hear Brother Branham, he tells Brother Vail, he says, Brother Lee, from that point on, I have no more fear. All my thoughts are of God. All my thoughts are the doxa. All my thoughts are God's opinions. All my thoughts are God's judgments. All my thoughts are his values. What God holds dear, I hold dear. What God's opinions are, those are my opinions. I've thrown out everything else. I'm changed from glory to glory, from opinion to opinion, from value to value. I'm changed from image to image. And we're not talking about the vessel. We're talking about the inner man. The man that is transformed by the word, by the washing of water, by the word. Where the Bible says that we are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. Where the Bible says that in Romans 12 and 1, that we are transformed by how? By the renewing of the mind. And so, when Jesus is talking to Philip, Philip wants to see the Father. He said, I've been so long with you, and you don't see me. He said, I am my Father one. He said, the Father was expressing himself through the Son. Jesus said, no man has seen the Father, but the Son has declared him. The Son has exegeted him. The Son has expressed him. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works. Because you know that no man can do those. That if you see things being done by God, then God is certainly with that man. You see? Okay, and so from his sermon, we would see Jesus. He said, and Jesus said unto him, St. John, the first chapter, also in the 10th chapter and the 37th verse, he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. In other words, what the Father had expressed that he was, if he didn't do that, then don't believe him. That's only sensible, see? And St. John 5:39, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. In other words, he was the living word. He was God's word made manifest. Oh, how I like to get into that. God's word made manifest. In other words, God made known. God's word made known. In other words, he was the one that God lived in to make his word known. Christ expressed what the word taught. Amen. There you are. Christ was the expression of the word that was wrote. Christ expressed it. And if you're a Christian, you express the same thing. No wonder he said to the Pharisees, religious leaders of his day, he said, you hypocrites, said if the sun sets clear, you say it's going to be pretty tomorrow. If it's red and lowering, you say that it's foul weather. He said, you can discern the face of the sky, but the sign of the time you cannot discern. For if you had known me, you would have known my day. See, they had religion, oh, plenty of it, but they failed to see him as the Messiah because, and I'll say why because, they failed to recognize Messiah because they failed to recognize that that supernatural was God using a vessel of clay to manifest himself. That's it. From identification, Brother Branham said, now look to him, all the ends of the world, and live. And the only way that you can, his sinless nature expressed the word of God so much that he and the word was one. He said, I and my Father are one. I do always that which pleases and I and my Father are just one. He was so perfect in the image of God until he and God was expressing the same thing. He was the flesh, the Son, that expressed the deity of God. So that made him deity in a man in order to redeem a man. See, he and the Word was one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh. So he and the Word became one. That the Word could express and show and could show to the world that example of what man should be. What man should be? You. Are you a man? 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 It's for you. He was the example of deity in a man to express to the world, you a man? To express to the world what you should do. What you should be. Not, well, you know what? We had a prophet. Hallelujah. And we put everything in that man, and then we just sit back and eat, drink, and be merry. Or as Brother Donald says, eat, drink alcohol, and be remarried. Because that seems to be the way people are going. No. A first fruit offering is only an expression of what the rest of the harvest is supposed to be. From the token, he says, when I see the blood, that's the token. And the token here is not because what he did. He had to see the actual chemistry because the life had gone from it. It was an animal, but here it's his own life that was in the blood, and the chemistry was only a signal or a sign of sanctification. But the life itself is the token. For without the circumcision, without the token, you're not even in the covenant. The whole thing works together. If you say that you're circumcised to the word and it only, then you'll believe the word. If you believe the word, then the token's got to come. For he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There you are. Well, if you don't got the Holy Ghost, but you went through the ritual, then you really didn't repent, did you? You think you did, but your actions proves your own life. From Sir, we went to Jesus, he said, and Jesus said in St. John, the first chapter, also in the 10th chapter, in the 37th verse, he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. In other words, what the Father had expressed that he was, if he didn't do that, then don't believe it. That's only sensible. And I will say this again. John 14:12. Brother Brown said the church is supposed to have John 14:12. The works that I do shall you do also. Or he says you don't have the same spirit he had. If you have the same spirit he had, you'll talk like him, you'll live like him, you'll act like him, and you'll do the things he did. And if you don't see it in a church, there's something wrong. I think you have an organization. And Brother Branham, that's a test of a true Pentecostal, original Pentecostal, going back to the beginning, Alpha becoming the Omega. Not the in-between, not the John Wesley's, not the Luther who smoked cigars. But as they lived in the first life, they were called Christians because they were Christ-like. So shall it be when we are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, we shall be Christ-like. I'm not coming for a large amount of people, but there will be people, there, because he said so. He said that there will be those that are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. He said that there will be those who are manifested as sons of God. It's got to happen because it's thus saith the Lord. All right? So in John 5:39, he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. In other words, he was the living word. Are you the living word? Are you the living word? He was God's word made manifest. Are you God's word made manifest? Oh, how I like to get into that. God's word made manifest. In other words, made known. God's word made known. In other words, he was the one that God lived in to make his word known. Christ expressed that word, taught. Amen. There you are. Christ was the expression of the word that was wrote. Christ expressed it. No wonder he said to those Pharisees, leaders, religious leaders of his day, he said, you're hypocrites. Said, if the sun sets clear, you say it's going to be pretty tomorrow. If it's red and lowering, you say it's going to be foul weather. Said, you can discern the face of the skies, but the signs of the time you cannot discern. For had you known me, you would have known my day. See, they had religion, oh, plenty of it, but they failed to see him as the Messiah. Do the world fail to see you as the Christian? There comes a son of God. There comes a daughter of God. Or are you known by your fashion? Yeah, I can pick out those people are from the Brown Tabernacle because they wear their hair this way, and those people are from so-and-so's church because they dress this way, and et cetera, et cetera. Come on. I can say, do I hear an amen? What's the fashion of your church? Are you known because, oh, these are the people that wear certain clothes, drive certain cars? Brother Brown said they get the spirit of the pastor instead of the Holy Spirit. See, if the pastor holds his cup of tea and he puts his little finger up like that, he said, you watch people in church. Pretty soon they're doing that. He said, if the pastor kind of jerks his head like, that's that? What are you talking? People go like that. Just watch the people and watch their pastor, and you find if the people don't have the Holy Ghost, they're going to have the spirit of the pastor. Well, all pastors, I don't care who they are born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies. So, what do you want? I want the Holy Ghost. Now, notice how many times Brother Branham says here, in other words. Because he's trying to get across to us that God, being the invisible word, the message of life, the DNA code, and when the messenger says nothing or expresses nothing but what the code says, what the message says, what the invisible word says, then that messenger becomes one with the message, and thus he actually becomes the expression of that message. Jesus said, I can do nothing but what the Father shows me. He said, the things that I speak, my Father commanded me what to say. He became the literal manifestation or the literal expression of God. But he wasn't God. That body, that was the Son of God. He wasn't God. He said, you condemn me because I say that I'm the Son of God. He said, I never said I'm God. But he said, but doesn't your Bible tell you that to whom the Word of God comes through, they are gods? Didn't God say to Moses, Moses, you're going to be God to Pharaoh. Aaron will be your prophet. You see? But that's for another message. In fact, that'll be next week. Therefore, that message is engrafted into their DNA, or they never could be enjoined and become one with the Word of God and one with Christ. And remember, it was Jesus' prayer that we be one with the Father, and he as he and the Father were one. And that can only come when we are enjoined by the same DNA of God's life that enjoined Jesus, the eldest brother. Now, I don't care how much you say it. You could talk to Christianity, and there's 1.5 billion people that hang the shingle of Christian in the world. Find anybody in the street in America, 85%, oh, I'm a Christian. Talk to them, and pretty soon, like Brother Brown said, you could talk 2 or 3 minutes, you find out they're not a Christian. But just talk to them about it. They have no concept of what it means to be a Christian. They're a Christian because they believe that Jesus died. Hallelujah. And even some might go as far as say, Jesus died for my sins. Hallelujah. But no man can say that Jesus is the Christ except he has the Holy Ghost. That's what Brother Brown tells us. That's what the Bible tells us. How do you know that? Because I see the same life working in me. That's how I know. All right? Therefore, the message is engrafted into the DNA, or they never could be enjoined. That word has to quicken. And when it quickens, like the RNA to the DNA, it changes the whole code. And makes that code say only what God said. Do only what God did. Amen? What does the AIDS virus do? It's an RNA. Joins to the DNA. It engrafts to the DNA. And it says, oh, you got a sniffle? You're going to die. You have no immune system. Oh, you broke a finger? You're going to bleed to death because it's not going to heal. Oh, this, oh, that. But the Holy Ghost, when he comes in, he says, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. Yeah, but you know what? 50% of all men over age 70 get prostate cancer. I am the Lord that healeth all, not 50%, all thy diseases. And you can say only what he said. And don't be like Job's wife who said, well, I'll just curse God and die the death. Or like Noah's wife. She said, you know, if it's going to rain, well, we better repair the roof because, you know, the rain might come in. No. Just say what God said. All right. Now, Romans 8:29 tells us. Oh, excuse me. And remember, it was Jesus' prayer that we be one with the Father as he and the Father were one. And that can only come when we are enjoined by the same DNA of God's life that enjoined Jesus, the eldest brother. Remember, John 5:26, the life was in God, the life was in the Father, and the life came into the Son, and into sons, and into as many as he would. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. The Greek word there is sumorphos. So we are predestinated to be sumorphos to the image of his son. Now the Pharisee, he would look at that word sumorphos because, you know, he was actually he wasn't a Greek, he was a Hebrew scholar. And so it wasn't even around. They wouldn't listen to what Paul said. But Paul said, those that God foreknew, he also did predetermine to be conformed, to be sumorphous to the image of his son. That he, the firstborn, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the sumorphous has to deal with being brethren. It also, as the English translation says, conform, but it goes far beyond conforming. It's conformed, but it should be co-formed. Now, Peter, you're pretty good. You understand, you know, the language pretty well. Think of the difference between conformed and co-formed. What does the word co tell you? There's together. And so, to be together, there's more than just this one here, right? It's this one here. Co-formed. When? Before the foundations of the world. Co-formed. Now, listen, we're going to get into this. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's a brother, you're a brother. Co-formed, okay? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that's whom God did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, whom he justified, then he also glorified. Now, of course, the word glorified means is from endoxazo. It means in, The doxa is in the Zoe, in the life. Now, what do you suppose the word sumorphos means? Well, we think being conformed to is to be like unto or to be similar. And that's what, when the Bible says we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, people say, oh, I'm going to walk like Jesus. I'm going to get me a pair of sandals. Remember the 70s? Now, some of you weren't even born then. You remember. I don't know if they had that in Poland, Brother Michael, or not. See, you're old enough to remember, Peter. Derek, you were in Poland, so you were just a kid at that time. But in the 70s, they had what they called the flower children. There's a real revival going on, but everybody, they got these tunics, and they got these sandals. And, you know, the dirty people were over at, Woodstock. And the Christians, you know, they were carrying flowers, and everything was love and peace and everything else. You know, the guys would wear beards and long hair, and they were like Jesus. So what it's talking about. That's not conformed. That's not even co-formed. All right? That's not even similar to. But that is what people think when it says that we shall be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Oh, do what Jesus did. Right? Remember the expression back in the 80s? There was a movement. What would Jesus do? Well, you know, you can try and do what Jesus would do, but if it's not God working in you to will and to do, you might as well forget it. It's just your own effort. But the word sumorphos means to jointly formed. Jointly formed. That's more like, should be co-formed. Jointly formed. Jointly formed, or formed jointly. Therefore, to be jointly formed is to be formed jointly, which means that you're formed together. It's not a separate thing. God did it with Jesus, now he's going to do it with you. Before the foundations of the world, the attributes were there. Sons, plural. Some being the older, some being the younger, one had to be the eldest. That means when I was conceived, when my right hand came into formation, it was jointly formed to my body in the same way that my left hand was jointly formed to the same body. Are you catching where we're looking at this? Where God is going with this? My body did not form a right hand first, and then some weeks later or days later even, a left hand pop out. But both hands were joined to the same body at the same time. When the chromosomes split, the same DNA that's on this side is on this side. When the cells go from 1 to 2, they're identical, which means they're identified. Then when they split from 2 to 4, they're identical until it forms the entire body. Your left side is a reflection of your right side. You understand? Only in a birth that has gone sour somehow do you have 4 fingers on one hand, 5 on the other. Something got in there and broke that chain, broke that code. But we are co-formed with Christ. We were brothers with Christ before the foundations of the earth. Did you know that? When the morning star sang and the sons of God shouted for joy. Hallelujah. Now, so my body didn't form a right hand and then a left hand, but both hands were joined to the same body at the same time. And we were in his thoughts before the foundations of the world, no different, and not in a different time than when God thought of Jesus as his firstborn son. If we go to Hebrews 9:20, it says, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Enjoined. That word enjoined means enjoined. And if it is enjoined, enjoined, it is a part of you, and you are a part of it. And it's the blood of who? God. Hallelujah. That's why when a father and mother get together and there's a transfer of the body fluid, we'll just call it the blood. Then the child is born, and he has the blood of his father, and so he's got DNA from the father, but in this case he's going to have DNA from the mother and father because of the interchange. With God there is no interchange. It's all him. We don't have a mother like the Indians, you know, Mother Earth. We have one who is both father and mother. Sure. You know, I mean, he's not mother from the in the female sense of the word, but he's mother in the sense that, you know, he's a many-breasted one. All right. But notice, we were before the foundation of the world jointly formed in the thoughts of God with the firstborn son. We see the time frame involved in Ephesians 1 to 3, 3 to 4, in addition to Revelation 13 and 8, are both the same before the foundations of the world. In Ephesians 1 to 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen, notice, in Christ, when? Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him or in his presence in love. Then, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, joined together in one, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So as Brother Branham said in paragraph 47 of the unveiling of God, he said, the thoughts of God are the attributes of God. Those thoughts were in him before the foundations of the world. Therefore, it is not as though you work out your differences, you know, between you and God, and you decide, well, I'm going to be like him. No, that would never have nothing to do with the germ of God in you. Nor would it have anything to do with your DNA having the message of God written into your DNA that you might be written epistles read and known of all men. It's not what you do. It's what he's already predestined for. It's what he's already foreknown before the foundations of the world. It's already what God has worked out. His plan is all worked out before you and I even came forth. Because we're part of that plan. He wouldn't have the plan if it wasn't for you. Let me just put it this way. If it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for you being in his thoughts, he wouldn't have the plan. The plan was, how do I get you? How do I get the thought of you? How do I get the thought of my children into this stage, and then this stage, and then this stage, and ready for the change? But the word sumorphous means jointly formed. Therefore, Ephesians 1:4 tells us that we were in God's thoughts before the foundation of the world, and Revelation 13:8 tells us the same thing, that God was ordaining for our eldest brother. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So when did you get that? When did you get into that book of life of the Lamb slain? Before the foundation of the world. Before you did anything. Before you spoke, before you acted, before you said anything. And when was the firstborn son slain? Before the foundations of the earth. Then God set it all in motion so that it would actually happen in the physical. No different thing. God has set in motion. You're being conformed, co-formed. You're being predestined to adoption. All these things. He's already got the plan laid out. He also glorified, or doxazo, God already pre-placed us within us, a predestined in us, his doxa, into our Zoe. He predestined us to be written epistles, read and known of all men. The reason you could believe his word and walk in the light, as he is in the light, is because he placed his own message of God life into your genes, your DNA. And it was always there, but it took the baptism of the Holy Spirit to quicken you to it. And to help you realize that you have always been a son of God. In God's eyes, before this was even written, before the foundation of the world, before this was even written in the skies, going back to Genesis 1:14-15, when he made the stars, the moon, the sun, the first times, the seasons, etc. Before all of that, you were in his thoughts to be co-joined, co-formed. And then he brings his spirit to enjoin you. That quickening, that catalyst, that, what's the word you guys were talking about after service? Reactant to the agent. You got a reactant. In other words, the word, the light, is what brings light. Paul said, all things that are reproved or made manifest are manifest by the light. So it took the light of God, the pillar of fire, come down this hour to manifest sons of God. You couldn't do it without it. no matter how much you try. All right. Because he placed his message of God life into your genes, your DNA. And it was always there, but it took the baptism of the Holy Spirit to quicken you, as Paul said, and to you who are dead, God has sent his Spirit to quicken you. Colossians, what is it, 3, verse 1. Or go to Romans, where Paul says, he says that if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then his Spirit will quicken your spirit. All right. Now, Colossians 3:3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, remember you're co-joined, shall appear, shall manifest in his true character, then shall you also appear, shall manifest in your true character with him in glory. Why with him? Because when the right hand is doing it, the left hand is doing it. I'm sorry. You know, it's not the right hand doing it and the rest of the body. You know, it's good enough for the rest of the body. When the right hand does it, the left hand is doing it. You can't clap without two hands. You can't walk without two feet. You have a hard time hearing without two ears. Hard time seeing without two eyes. Hard time breathing with only one nostril. You understand? Co-formed. Why did God give us two sides of a body? It's an expression to us to let us know that we are the other half or the other part of that body. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. See? All right. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest in his true character, then shall you also phaneru in your true character with him in glory, in the same doxa, same opinions, judgments, etc., making you the blood of God through the Spirit, the same Spirit. From the token, Brother Brown said, what an hour that we're living in now. Oh, a blood identified the believer because that the life had gone out, could not come back, so he had to have the chemistry. He had to have it by like a paint, a blood, a chemistry that showed that the life had gone out. Now, the very Spirit itself is the token. The Holy Spirit itself is the token, not the blood. The blood was shed at Calvary. That is true. But the blood, as far as it is, it went back into the elements from which it came, from the food that he lived on. But you see, inside the blood cell was a life that started the blood cell to moving. If it wasn't, the chemistry had no life in it itself. And therefore, it could not move. But when the life come into the chemistry of the blood, it formed a cell, and it formed its own cell, then cell after cell, and it became a man. And that man was God Emmanuel in flesh. But when the life returned back, the chemistry went to it. But the token is the Holy Ghost upon the church that they see Christ. Now, from questions and answers, he said, when you're born again, you're not born of physical like the baby was, but what's happened? The spiritual birth has come to you. And while this spiritual birth is growing into your heart of God, there is a physical or a celestial body growing to receive that Spirit. Now listen to this. And when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is represented to the earth, the Spirit comes in. And when the Spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. As Brother Branham told Brother Hickerson and a few brothers in the church, he said, I saw you when I was caught up to the other side. You were there. Now, had they not been born again at the time, there would have been nobody to see. He wasn't looking into the future. He was saying that happened right there. All right? And here he says, and when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is presented to the earth, the Spirit comes in, and when the Spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. For we know that after this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. That's the Apostle Paul. See, that's it, the spiritual body of the people. That's why Brother Branham said in explaining healing and Jairus, he said the devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else to say, well, some of these days you'll be this. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all power in heavens and earth. See? Now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. Right now we are sons of God. You know, it just bothers me. The brothers, you teach on adoption. They say, oh, that's after the resurrection. That's in the other side. You know, no, it's not. It's now. Yeah. If you're not adopted here, you're not going to the other side. If you're not conformed to the image of the firstborn son, when do you expect to be conformed? If you don't manifest as sons of God this side of the resurrection, you're certainly not going to go over there. Because, Brother Branham said, we won't need the Holy Ghost over there. We won't need that baptism over there. Because we are sons. We are sons. Right now, we are the sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know we'll be like Him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who He called, He justified. Is that right? Those who He justified, He has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right. We'll find out whether that's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other bodies are waiting. Wow. But you know what? If all your thoughts are of God, you know where your other body is waiting too. Now from identification, he said, a reflection, you've got to be identified. And I want you to never forget, the word identification or identify does not mean to be sympathetic towards. Too many people are sympathetic. Oh, Brother Brown, I believe everything you say. And he said, you know what? That just means you can read. The word identified or identification, the word identification means to make, to represent, to be, or regard, or treat as the same, or identical. And if you are, and you were in God's thinking at the beginning, and was His reflection here on earth, you'll bear record of the heavenly. And as He bore record of the heavenly also, and when He raised up from the grave and was given a body, when we raise up, we have a body like His own glorious body. The resurrection is sure. It's a guarantee, and we have the earnest of it now as the Holy Spirit comes in and identifies us as God's redeemed person. Amen. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're sealed till the journey's over. Again, from World is Falling Apart, he said, oh, if we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings, let's conduct our character as Christians. That's right. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. Then let's act like who? God. We are the children of God. We know that we're sons and daughters of God. Let our character reflect His presence, no matter how rough it gets. So when Brother Branham says, you become the blood of God, he's not talking about the chemistry. He's talking about the life that the chemistry formed around itself. And the life is in you by the new birth has to form a word body around that life as well. That is why Brother Vail used to say, get your eyes off the vessel and get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. It's all about the God and His God life. In 1 Corinthians, look, I'll just say this. You know, people said they say, you're just following a man. Yeah, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, if the man you're following isn't Christ-like, then just you wouldn't dare to follow. And, you know, Brother Vail used to use a thing. He'd say, you know, if I tell my wife, if I leave the Word, you leave me. Now, to me, that's an oxymoron. I'm sorry, but how in the world are you ordained of God to teach this message and then you're going to leave the Word? You know, there's a real intellectual sister used to come by and she thought, well, you know, he might have been good back in Brother Branham's day, but, you know, maybe he went off. And I said, well, just a minute. You're going to tell me that the man that wrote Church Age book, co-wrote it with William Branham, that book has gone out throughout the world, has been used by God to bring people to Christ, bring people to this message. You're going to say, well, he could have gone up? Well, sure. I said, you don't understand predestination. I said, you're going to tell me that John, after John wrote the book of John, after Paul wrote the epistles, that maybe they went off, they died in sin. You don't have the same revelation they have. Jesus said, if you can't believe me, the vessel, believe the manifestation of God with the vessel. You think God chooses a vessel and then sometimes He's with them, sometimes He's not? I don't know what kind of God we serve. If you believe that, you got to be most miserable because look, you're confused all the time. Is he now with God? Is he not with God? Is he now with God? Is he not with God? That's why when I saw Brother Vail use some language that I wasn't accustomed to as a Christian, I said, Lord, you know, I went to bed that night. Lord, you know, boy, he sure is crusty. And the Lord spoke to me and said, which of my prophets wasn't? I got to thinking, you know what? They were all that way. They didn't want people to get around them. They didn't want people to worship them. They didn't want people to... So they drove them away. How are you going to drive people away? With the vessel. With the vessel. First Corinthians 12:13, by one spirit, by one word, by one life. For my words are spirit and their life, Jesus said. For by one spirit, one word, one life, one spirit, are we baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. Now here's the thing. How many of you have ever had people take your pictures? All of us, right? How many of you ever say, well, you know what, take it from that side over there because I have a better, somehow it looks better on camera. Right? We all have a good side. We all have a bad side. Are you two different bodies? No. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. It's the body of Christ. Now, I don't care what angle you're looking at it, it's the body of Christ. You understand? If you're looking from down there, you might see the hair up my nose. If I haven't cut it, it's still the same body. The same body that used the words, you know, well, I won't even say them, but you know some of those words, clap, trap, and balderdash, and a few others that went with it, is the same body God used to show us Father and Son. The same body that picked up a whip and, like a madman, drove the money changers out of the church, out of the temple, is the same body that hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's the same body. If you only get a snapshot picture of that body when he's driving the people out, whatever, and you say, I want nothing to do with that body, you know what? You say, well, he's not following God, so I'm not going to follow him. You might be lost. You might find yourself in a situation where you're just so focused on the vessel, you don't see Christ. So focused on the vessel, you don't see God. That's what even Jesus said himself. If you can't believe me, the vessel, the man, believe the things that are done. Because no man can do those things except God be with him. That's what we're dealing with. Now, 1 Corinthians said, by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. It's one body, and all made to drink into one spirit. Into one spirit. One body, he said. I don't know what you believe, but as for me, he said, by one spirit, I've been baptized into one body, and that one body, the body of Christ, has already taken its punishment for sin on Calvary's cross. I was there, and now I am sitting in heavenly places in Christ. And Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him, we have access by one spirit, unto the Father. And Acts 17:28 says, for in him we live, and in him we move, and in him we possess our being. As certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. No matter how much you might have not liked some of the things that your father in the flesh did, you're still his son. You're still his boy. You're still his chip off the old block. Better get used to it. Or maybe it's too late. And if we are his offspring, that means we have sprung off from him. Offspring, spring off. That he's our source of life. Therefore, this brings us to point number two. That in the blood, and we're not going to get to three tonight. We're just going to finish two, and then we're going to move on. That in the blood, in that chemistry, was the literal life of God, and the chemistry of that blood cell was infused then with the very DNA of God. his very attributes and characteristics that God made who he was, that Jesus Christ, the firstborn, was so much an expression of God that in him he was the essentiality and the intrinsicality of God. All right, Hebrews 1:1 tells us, God, who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. Now showing it wasn't an angel, it was God. Genesis 1:26. As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And he said, I come in my father's name, showing he received his father's name by inheritance. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? But this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now from possessing the gate of the enemy, Brother Branham said, and we're getting close to closing here. But when Jesus, the Son of God, virgin born, shed his blood, the life was in the blood, was God itself. That life was eternal life, and there is only one form of eternal life, and that is God. Therefore, it had to be God's own life in his Son. All right, from the token, he said he created both egg and blood. That's exactly what he was. We handle God. The Bible said, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. We handle him with our hands. That body was God. Certainly it was. He was God all over in a form of a human being. Now, we must balance this with a statement also from Brother Branham, where he said, from God's gifts always find their place. He said, now notice, after that, when the wise men identifying him that he would be, and find out through the scripture that's exactly what it was, deity in service for death. What for? Deity in service to God for death. Jesus was deity in service for death to redeem the world. But what did the world do to it? They refused it. They rejected it. Why? Some of them, a big part of them, did that because of this. Because he did die. They said he couldn't be deity and die. The man, the body, was not deity. But deity was in the body. This body has to perish. The very Christ that's in you is the only thing that can raise you up. That deity of God in you. So the deity itself is the life. But the chemistry or vessel is a created being, and as a created being, it has to perish, for it had a beginning, it surely must have an end. So we are not looking at the vessel, the body, the chemistry itself, when we refer to the blood, but we are looking at the spirit, the life, the very nature in him, in you. Now, we're going to get to part three Wednesday night. Forgive me for, but this is another, it's about the same, this is about 10 pages here tonight, and it'll be about another 10 pages Wednesday night. And we'll be done with this. But what I'm hoping that you'll see is, look, we're not talking semantics. We're not talking religion. We're not talking philosophy. We're not talking mysteries. The mysteries are all done. I don't care what anybody on YouTube says. Mysteries are all done. All right? We're not dealing with anything outside of God. God life. And I'm going to tell you nothing. You don't have to be Jewish. In fact, if you're Jewish, you probably missed it anyway. You probably missed it anyway. People think, oh, he's a Jew, so he must know. No, he's a Jew, so therefore he does not know. He missed it. We have a prophet. We have God himself came down in this hour. He spoke through a prophet to the Gentiles. And unless you're a Jew and are waiting for Moses and Elijah to come, because I wouldn't trust anybody else. And if you're a Jew, then you're not going to rapture anyway. You're going into tribulation. So get your eyes off of anyone. Get your eyes off of any voice in this hour but the one that God sent. And that's a vindicated prophet. That's power has in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is sharp and it's like a two-edged sword. It cuts coming, it cuts going. But Father, it's too late an hour to be playing games with people out there that think that they know. You know, we see men like a fella, he's got a name. And the name is actually, if you look up the name, it's not a good name. And they talk about harbinger of this and harbinger of that and all these mysteries and everything else. And it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the bride of Jesus Christ. It's all to pull in money, to write books, to make yourself famous, and what good would it be? As your prophet even said, if I went and told everybody who the next president is going to be, he said, what purpose would that be? That's not God's plan. He said, that would only make me famous and people would want to come to me. And he said, and if they come to me, they're lost. He said, if the people are coming to this service, are coming to see William Branham, they are still lost in their sin. Father, if they're coming to see you. And so Brother Branham himself died so much to William Branham. He said of a certain preacher in this message, he told others, you know, I die to myself so much that that man, that minister, might see Christ in me. And he said, the problem is that the more I die and the more people can see Christ in me, then you got over here, you got those who think that I am Jesus Christ. But I certainly would rather have to stand at the white throne where people actually thought that I was Christ than people say I certainly wasn't. I would rather stand at the white throne, and when my life is played back, all they're going to hear is talking about Jesus, talking about His blessed union, talking about His Holy Spirit, His life, His working in me to will and to do. I would certainly rather have that piped back and played back before all mankind than thoughts that go contrary to His word and His will. So, Father, I ask that you help us just to die to ourselves. May we recognize, Father, that in our DNA is the message, and that your Spirit, your life, has come into us and has enjoined with your predestined writing in our DNA, that code that you placed in our DNA, until it expresses in our flesh and releases the life that is in the code back, that it might manifest Christ and Him only. As Paul said, my desire is to see Jesus Christ and Him alone, and Him only. Be with us, Father, as we prepare now, as we turn the order of service over to communion, and help us, O God, to think of that very night when your Son Jesus broke the bread and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me, not that the body is the bread, or that the bread is the body, but that it's a memorial. When we see that the bread has been broken, we realize that His flesh was miserably broken down for our sake. And He said, as I sanctify myself for them, Father, may we all sanctify ourselves for one another. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If the brothers could bring forth the elements at that time, this time, and if you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13. And we'll begin reading at verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself, and after that he poureth water into the basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answering said unto him, that what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he saith, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken their garments, and was set down, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now, look at that scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Like one fellow said, well, I don't need to hear Brian Tesoric read Brother Branham's quotes. I can do it for myself. Well, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. Either God sent me or didn't send me. You understand? And I'd like to have the same brother take Brother Branham's messages and preach 200 and some sermons from him. See if he's reading the same thing I am. All right? When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciple looked on one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now, Jesus is complaining the same thing. He's saying, look, there's one of you is going to betray me. Oh, quit acting like that. That's your flesh, Jesus. Quit acting that way. No, he's telling us, we are in a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. This thing taking place in America is between right and wrong. It's not between liberal and conservative. It's between right and wrong. There's a right way to do things. There's a law and order, and there's an anarchy. All right? It's not because, well, you know what, he doesn't have the personality I like, therefore, you know, so what? Personalities have nothing to do with it. Is it God's word or not God's word? When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. Does that mean Jesus was weak? That Jesus was maybe not mature, not grown up? Why does the Bible say that God spoke in Noah's day? He said, I repent for having made man. You know, God said it. We say God was weak? God was troubled? No. God was troubled. Jesus was troubled. In spirit. And he testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned unto him that he should ask who it was that he spake of. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And everybody else looked at him and said, oh, he's giving him the first. He must be really precious. You know, when Michelangelo drew the picture Jesus, or was it, no, not Michelangelo, it was the guy whose name starts with a D, Da Vinci. When he did the picture of the Last Supper, the best looking guy in the whole bunch was Judas Iscariot. The person that had the best smile, the most enticing personality, best looking guy, people are automatically attracted to him, and he was a betrayer. So it has nothing to do with your chemistry, brother, sister. It has to do with the God life in you. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, well, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said to him, buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. See, they all went off in their own just their own thinking. Nobody had a clue that this is the guy that's going to betray Jesus. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. No more light. It's over. Let's just bow our heads in prayer.